go to the Lord in prayer again. Our Heavenly Father, what a glorious day that we have, another day of life, another opportunity to get to serve our great King and to worship You and adore You and to hear Your Word preached and for it to stir our souls and for us to be reminded of this great reality, Father, of what You have done in sending Your only begotten Son to set us free from the slavery of sin. Set us free to love You with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Father, thank You for the words that have gone before. Thank You for this beautiful truth that was brought out from the Scriptures and from a great man of God. Thank You, Father, for His life and ministry. Thank You for how much You've blessed him over the years to speak truth and to faithfully stand for the truth of Your Word and to live a life that has brought glory and honor to You. And Father, I pray that You will continue to bless him all the days that he has left. Father, that he will continue to stand for those things and live a life as he has all these years by Your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that as I try to speak Your Word now, that You'll just fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Father, I am completely dependent on Your Holy Spirit. Father, I know I can't say anything that would benefit these people. I can't say anything that would glorify You, Father, unless Your Holy Spirit inspires the words and that it comes from Your Word, which is inspired. Father, help us to continue to delight in You and to delight in Your Word. Father, bless us for the time we have left. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, it kind of sounded like to me that what Granddaddy was talking about was freedom. He talked about how Adam, the first Adam that was mentioned, how because of his sin, because of the choice that he made to disobey God, that brought slavery to sin into the world. And so every person that's been born, Adam and Eve, and every descendant of Adam and Eve throughout the years, when they're born into the world, they're born slaves to sin. You and I are born slaves to sin. And we're so thankful that that wasn't the end of the story, and that Adam sold us into slavery, and that every one of us have just been born and lived and died as slaves to sin. But that God sent another representative who set us free.
Amen.
Who set us free from that sin. So I know it, today is the day that we celebrate our freedom here in this country that we live in. And I'm so thankful for the freedom that we have. I'm thankful for the freedom that this country has had from its beginning. We know that freedom has changed over the centuries and is ever changing in our day and time. And we don't exactly know what the future holds for the generations that are coming after us. But we do know this wonderful truth that Christ has set us free.
Amen.
And no matter whether we continue to have the freedom that we've had in this country, that's really not important. When you think about it in the grand scheme of things, the freedom that we have as Americans, the freedom that we have as human beings, it is far inferior to the freedom that we have in Christ.
Amen.
And so what we're really here to celebrate today is this freedom in Christ that we have. So I'll call your attention to Galatians 5 and just exhort you with these words. Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So Paul exhorts the believers at Galatia to stand firm, to be firmly planted in the freedom wherewith Christ had set them free. What they were struggling with going back and trying to be justified by keeping the law. He's speaking to mostly Jews who had become believers, and they had been called out of Judaism, been called out of works righteousness, to trusting in the righteousness of Christ alone to save them. His death, his burial, his resurrection, the gospel, the good news. They had come to believe this through the gift of the Holy Spirit. But what they were struggling with now was, how do we use the law, right? How do we use the law now? And so he encourages them. The law has its proper place, but it's no longer to keep us in bondage. It's no longer to keep us in chains. Now we have been freed from the yoke of the law that it had over us, which just told us that we were sinners and that we could never measure up. Now we have been set free from that, and we can use the law for its intended purpose, which is to show us that we fall short of the glory of God and that we needed someone to stand in our place. And so he encourages them, I want you to stand fast in the freedom that with which Christ has made you free, and don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And we all continually need that exhortation. Even when we are born again, even when we are set free from the slavery of sin, we have the temptation to go back and put on the chains that once bound us. And so we're all continually tempted with that. Each and every day of our life, Satan comes and he says, put back on the chains of sin. Give in to temptation and be willing slaves to me and to sin again. But the Word of God would say, no, stand fast in the freedom wherewith Christ has set you free, and don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And so Christ has called us to a better freedom. He has called us, he has set us free from sin. He has set us free from Satan's power. He has set us free from selfishness. He has set us free from the love of this world and the things of this world. He has set us free from what the world calls freedom. As Americans, we can be tempted to fall into the trap of the American dream. But the American dream at its core is actually bondage. It's actually bondage. It's actually slavery to a system. It's slavery to an ideology. It's slavery to idolatry. That you have a dream that you're going to get everything that you want, right? That you're going to have a good education, and that you're going to get a good job, and that you're going to have all the money that you want in the bank account, and you're going to live a life of luxury and ease. That may sound like freedom, but that's actually bondage, because you're a slave to the master of those things. And so Christ came to save us from the penalty of sin, but he also came to set us free from the power of sin in our life and from the bondage of that kind of idolatrous freedom. And God is slowly stripping away that freedom from this country. And so what we will have to learn, if we have not learned it already, is we will have to learn that there is a better freedom than American freedom. And that's what he's saying here. You need to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Then I want to go down and I want to look at verses 13 through 15. Because what I want to encourage you with for just a little while is that Christ has set you free for a purpose. He set you and I free for a purpose. And it's not so that we can live any way that we want to live. It's not so that we can live a life of selfishness and have no worries. Christ has set us free from sin so that we can serve him, and so that we can serve his people, so that we can love him. And we love him by loving his people. And that's what Paul says. Don't be entangled with the law and thinking that in keeping of the law and keeping the ceremonial law and those things that has always been a part of your life, don't think that you need those things anymore. You've actually been freed from the bondage of those things. You've been set free to serve one another and to love one another. And that's a beautiful thing that we see in the kingdom of God, in the church of God. And so he says, after he talks about how circumcision, it can do nothing for us. It doesn't make you any more holy than anyone else. So don't try to do that anymore. So he goes on down and he says in verse 13, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty." You've been called unto freedom. But this is his encouragement and this is his warning. "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." So there's a great danger when we're set free, even in Christ. There's a great danger that can come upon us, that we think, yes, we've been set free from the slavery of sin. We've been set free from the power of Satan. But maybe we're tempted in that to say, well, I can just live a life. I've been set free in Christ, and I can just live a life that kind of in word acknowledges the Lord, in word acknowledges this truth that we should love and serve God and love and serve one another. But really, we're just living for self. And so he encourages them. "You've been called unto freedom, but don't use your freedom for an occasion to sin. An occasion for yourself and a glorifying of yourself and a serving of yourself." If there's anything that we really struggle with as Americans, it's selfishness. Right? Selfishness. And it's ingrained in our culture. It's ingrained in us as young people. We need self-esteem. We need to build up this idea of self. And it's all about taking care of yourself and providing for yourself and making sure that yourself is taken care of for your future and for your future selves. That's your children, your future selves, your little selves. And so we can get caught up in that. And it's really a bondage. And I'm here to tell you and encourage you today, as most of you already know, stand fast in the liberty with which Christ has set you free from that selfishness. What our children need is Christ. What our culture needs is the gospel. What our future generations need is freedom from idolatry and freedom from self. And we are the ones who are going to live that kind of example before them. As they look at our lives, what do they see in the way that we live? Do they see a life that's really about self and about our needs and our desires? Or do they see us living to serve God and living to serve His people? And so he says, "Don't use your liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." That's freedom. Freedom to serve, freedom to love. God has set you free. He has saved you for a reason. Yes, so that you will eternally be His. Yes, that when you die, you will go to be with Him in glory. But for right now, He has set you free. He has removed the chains of sin from you so that He can use you in other people's life to be an encouragement, to be a blessing, to help others come out of the yoke of bondage and of sin. So this is a wonderful truth that we believe in. And certainly time fails us to be able to look at all the scriptures that talk about this. But rejoice with me again what it says in Romans chapter 6. Brother Brady's been preaching from Romans. And he was right here in this passage recently. Romans chapter 6. Verse 6, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Christ has set us free from serving sin. He has put to death our selfishness. "For he that is dead is freed from sin." Hallelujah. Amen. Freed from its power, freed from its penalty, and one day freed from its presence. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe also that we shall live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over us. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Christ has set us free from the dominion of sin. And so he says, stand firm, stand fast in that freedom. Use it not for an occasion to the flesh, not for a life of selfishness, but a life of service. We've been set free from sin. Hallelujah. Set free forever from sin. In Ephesians chapter 2, we're told not only are we set free from sin, but we're also set free from Satan's power. Hallelujah. The song that we sang is one of my favorites at the end. A mighty fortress is our God. Because one of the things it teaches us is, as I think Martin Luther said, that Satan is no more than God's dog who's on a chain. Right? He's no more than a leashed dog on a chain. And he says, one little word from God will fail him.
Yeah.
In your life. All he has to say is, no. No. Be gone. You have no power over him. And so it tells us this wonderful truth in Ephesians 2. In you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Before you knew Christ, before you were born again, you were dead. You were shackled under the chains of sin, and you were dead, and there was nothing you could do to get out. But Jesus Christ came, and he set you free. He broke the chains of sin. And he set you free. But he says, what did he set us free from? Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Outside of Jesus Christ, we are under the influence and power of Satan. And that is what this world is under the influence of. And so when we see things like things that are going on, continually going on in our culture, it shouldn't surprise us, even though it does surprise us, because we're human. We should be human, and we should care about the things that are going on. But it shouldn't surprise us, because those are the works of Satan. Satan is the father of lies. Satan is a murderer. And so when we see lies and when we see killing going on, it shouldn't surprise us, because these people are under the influence of Satan. And if you don't know Christ, if you're not in Christ, if you haven't believed in Christ and followed him and been set free from sin, you're under the power of Satan here today. And your only hope is that he sets you free from that bondage. So we have been set free from Satan's power. But we've also, as it tells us in verse 3, not only have we been set free from Satan's power, but we've also been freed from selfishness. Because before Christ, brothers and sisters, all we cared about was me. Right? All you cared about was me. That doesn't mean you didn't love your other people. It doesn't mean that you didn't serve other people. But ultimately, it was for selfish reasons. It was for selfish gain. It was for pride or for some benefit of yours. We, among whom also we all had our conversation, our way of life in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That explains, that describes your life outside of Christ. You are going to fulfill the desires of your flesh and of the lust of your flesh and of your mind. That's what your life's going to be about. Just fulfilling the idolatrous ideas and desires of your heart and mind. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we were sold under the power of Satan. We were held captive under the power of our flesh. But he says in verse 4, but God. And that's what changes the whole thing. What changes the whole thing is God. He is the first great cause and the last great end. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, even when we were in bondage to slavery to sin, hath quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You were once a slave. You were once like the prodigal son who had sold himself to slavery and sold himself to a life wasted for selfish reasons. But God set you free from that. According to His mercy, according to His grace, according to His great loving kindness, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So what a beautiful passage that tells us what we are saved from, right? We were saved from being dead in our trespasses and in sins. We were saved from being in bondage to Satan. We were saved from being in bondage to a life of selfishness. And we have been set free and saved to a life of glory, a life of freedom, a life of sitting in heavenly places with Christ. And that all that God has is yours in Christ Jesus, because you are an heir of God through Jesus Christ. And you have been saved to a life of good works. What are those? Serving other people, loving other people, sacrificing yourself for others, being a good husband, being a good wife, being a good parent, being a good co-worker, being a good boss, being a good citizen. Those are all good works which God has saved us to. So He saved us from a life of selfishness, and He saved us to a life of service. Hallelujah. We have been set free from self, and we have been set free to serve. Well, that's the truth. And so you can either believe the truth or you can reject the truth. But the truth is that we have been set free by Jesus Christ from the slavery of sin, and we are now the slaves of God. We are now the slaves of Christ, willing slaves of the Master. And Jesus Christ came and He gave us this example. And I want to turn to a few scriptures before I close. Mark chapter 10. If you need an example in your life, besides all the great examples that we've had that have gone before us, and the great cloud of witnesses that we have in Hebrews 11, and even the ones that we have that have lived in our day and time, the greatest example of a life lived of service is Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. And in teaching His disciples what kind of men and what kind of leaders they needed to be when He would leave, this is what He says. Of course, we've got to read what the request before this of James and John. Verse 35 of Mark 10. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder, come unto Him, saying, Master, we would that Thou shouldest do for us whatever we shall desire. That might not have been a good request. And it kind of sounds like some selfishness in that request. Kind of sounds like some prayers of some Americans. Lord, give us everything that we desire. He said, well, what would ye that I should do for you? And they said unto Him, grant unto us that we may sit one on Thy right hand and the other on Thy left hand in Thy glory. That sounds like a good request. Sounds a little more spiritual than just give us everything that we desire. But Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking for. But Jesus said unto them, "You know not what you ask. Can ye drink the cup that I will drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they said unto him, "We can." And Jesus said unto them, "You shall indeed drink the cup that I will drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and says unto them, "You know that they which were accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them." So see, this is the way that the world does it. The world is about you serving them, right? You having power over them. He says, that's not the way that it's going to be with you. You're not going to be worried about power and about authority over people. You're going to worry about serving and being below people. "But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, shall be your servant, shall be your slave. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all." So he set us free from selfishness. And he says, "I've set you free to serve." And if we needed the example, if we didn't see it, he just makes it clear. "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." The greatest example of servitude that has ever been shown in the history of the world is that Jesus, the Creator of heaven and an earth, the one who is preeminent and above all things, the one who is the head of the church, the one who is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, that he came to this earth and he came and he served his brothers and sisters in Christ. And he served each and every one of you by giving his life as a ransom for you. He paid the penalty that you are supposed to pay. He took off the chains that you could not take off, and he put them upon himself so that you would be set free. So he says, this is the way that you'll live. You'll live a life of service, a life of sacrifice, a life of bowing down at one another's feet in whatever way that you can. I love the way that Paul puts it to the church at Philippi. It says in Philippians chapter 2, "May this be our theme, brothers and sisters. If we have been set free, may this be our theme. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, each esteem other better than themselves." Oh, how we need that. "Look not every man on his own things," not only on your own things, I think is his point, "but every man also on the things of others." How much do you care about other people? We can become so consumed with what we have and what we don't have, what we look like or what we don't look like, how much money we have or don't have. He says, "Look not every man on his own things, but also on the things of others." How much do you care about your brothers and sisters in Christ? And what are you doing to help encourage them? "Let this mindset be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, of a slave, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." That is the ultimate example of service. that Jesus Christ, the Holy One of Israel, took upon Himself our flesh and subjected Himself to a life of suffering, a life of pain, and eventually, as He says here, the death of the cross, the most cruel kind of death that you could have. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Because Jesus Christ became a willing servant, He was exalted to the place of the right hand of the Father. And it says, because of His sacrifice, because of His service, because of His person, that every knee will bow to His Lordship. Either you will do it willingly by the grace of God here in this life, and you will continue to do it forever, or you will be forced to bow the knee before Him at the great judgment throne. And Satan himself will be forced to bow the knee and say, "You are Lord. You are Lord." And we'll be held accountable for our selfishness and for our lack of service to our brothers and sisters, because Jesus will say to those that didn't know Him, He said, "You didn't do it unto the least of these, my brethren. You didn't serve my people. Therefore, I don't know you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." You see how He ties the two things together? Not knowing God and not serving His people, not loving others. Knowing to know God and to know Jesus Christ is to serve others by loving them. And so that's what He would encourage them with. We'll go back to the text in Galatians 5. And end with this. So you've been set free. The chains have been removed so that you can live a life of service and a life of love. He says, don't use that freedom in the wrong way. Don't use it for selfishness or for sin or for vainglory, but use it to serve one another. He says in verse 14, he reminds them, what about the law? What about the law? What about this thing that they were struggling with? In their freedom. He says this, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you should love your neighbor as yourself." What's the law's purpose in your life and in my life? To love others. Right? To love others, to serve others, to love God. Jesus would say, as they asked Him, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is the fulfillment of the law. And you cannot do that. You will not do that unless you've been set free.
Amen.
From the bondage of sin. So if you stand here today and you've been set free and you know it, you know that sin no longer has dominion over you, you know that you're no longer under the law but under grace, I encourage you, live with a better freedom. Stand fast in the freedom wherewith Christ has set you free. And by love, serve one another. May God bless you and keep you.